on the back side of this morning's lesson, and maybe even being a little bit hopeful that it may be a shorter lesson or something else tonight. But we're going to do a sermon through a song next Sunday night, since our fifth Sunday night of the month. And so I'm going to say, anybody that's a song leader or wants to put together a sermon through a song to do that the next Sunday night, let me know. And we'll probably arm wrestle for it, and most likely you'll win. So we'll just kind of do that if anybody wants to do that. If not, I have something in mind, but I want to give you the opportunity to take part in that. Just a word or two about a few of those folks mentioned in the bulletin. I know also that Andy Parent's wife had put on Facebook today that the trend line of Brian Parent, the trend line is improving with him. It's getting better. They've been able to take him off some machines and close up the incision area. And so having sitting up and doing some things, but today apparently was quite a bit of pain involved. Again, probably as, I don't know if they came back to medication or whatever it is, that perhaps that may be some reason. But anyway, again, the trend line with Brian is better. He's doing recovering from having a heart replacement surgery. And also, just mentioned, I put him in the bulletin there. Last Sunday night, we received a call from the Joneses down in Florida. And while preaching in Trenton, the Jones family consisted of, I guess you call it great-grandma, grandma and grandpa, those who are age, and also their children. And one of those was Johnny. Now, Johnny and Donna were about Regina and my age, I dare say, and they had three young children. One of those was Rusty. And at that time, Rusty was about 4 or 5 years of age. Rusty grew up, as they tend to do, and Rusty became part of a rodeo, and now is an instructor in rodeo in Monticello, Arkansas. And his son, last Sunday night, about 5 years of age, was struck by a horse and kicked in the head. And they had called us last Sunday night to explain that and ask for prayers. I believe at that point that the prognosis, they didn't think he would survive at all, I don't think. And he survived through surgery and is in a hospital in Little Rock. And things are looking better for him as far as he's in a coma, but that's going to be, I think, about 2 weeks or 3 weeks. They plan on having him in a coma. But the numbers are getting, as far as brain swelling, things like that, are improving. And so just keep that family in your prayers, because that's a hard thing to have all the way through the family. You know, it touches everybody. And so just keep them in your prayers also. And I was trying to think of anything else I was going to mention, because I believe that's it. I forgot to mention outlines being on the table this morning, so I want to talk about that. Well, this lesson is really inspired, if I can use that word, by something what Bob said about a couple of Wednesday nights ago. And he got talking about the Ash Wednesday, talking about all that goes on with Mardi Gras and things along that line. And it got me thinking about the fact that the Jewish calendar, in particular, events that occur in the Jewish calendar. And we want to look at that some, but we realize that things happen in the element of time. That we remember things a lot of times because of when it happened. And we mark events by those things. For instance, we talk about the 4th of July. And just mentioning that, 4th of July, automatically, if you're in this country, you know what that means, or something is in your mind about why we celebrate that day. Or if I will say December 7th, that we would have Pearl Harbor. And so that would come to your mind as far as that event. And other things that may be more personal than that. For instance, we tend to mark our birthdays. And we talk about when somebody's born. And then not only that, but also maybe we mark anniversaries. We talk about when people got married. And other events like that, we mark by time. Now, some events may be, I just kind of have some favorites here. One is, this here is National Rubber Duck Day. And the reason I remember National Rubber Duck Day is January 13th, exactly when it is, and that's the day that Noah was born. And so I kind of remember that there because of, again, of her birthday being that day. Or another one of my favorites is National Donut Day, as if I need an excuse to eat a donut. But this year is November 5th, as you see on this year, and I think that actually kind of slides from year to year, different days in the year for some reason. But these things, again, just show us we mark events by when they happen. And in the Bible we find that time is talked about, and I often notice the first time certain words are used. For instance, we had the word day being used in Genesis, first, second chapter, and referring to the days of creation. In Genesis, the first chapter, and verse 4, God saw the light that was good, and God divided the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, that's the first time we had the word day used there. And when we read through the Bible, that word day there, the Hebrew word yom, Y-O-M, is consistently the word day, translated that way. And so that's the first time that is used. And going on there, we find in Genesis 2 chapter 2, that mentioned on the seventh day, God in his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day for all his work which he had done. And so we have here the completion of his work, and really we have the beginning of the idea of a week being talked about. We understand that a week is 7 days. And then as you go on a little bit farther in Genesis, we find the very first time the word month is used. And that is dealing with the days of Noah. Actually, in Genesis, the sixth chapter. If you look over in verse 11, and it says, 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. So here we have the word month being used for the first time. And we understand, we don't just keep track of the days of the year. In other words, we don't say this is day number 245 of 365, or this is day 299. We actually break it down into the month so that we can compartmentalize a little bit easier when something is happening or is going to happen. If somebody will send me a notice about maybe a wedding is going to happen in September or August, I have an idea when it is, but simply by knowing our calendar. And then also, as you look at Genesis 5, verse 3, we have Adam lived 130 years, begot the son in his own likeness after his image. Name of Seth, verse 4, and begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days Adam lived were 130 years, and he died. And so here we have the first time, really, the measuring of one's life in the sense of the number of years they lived. I know it's not the first time somebody died in the Bible, but that's the first time we have the idea of measuring how old somebody was when they passed away. A number of years ago, up in Owensboro, I did a funeral of a lady that had been a member of the congregation. And she in her obituary, kind of unique, is that she would not have her birthday posted. She did not want that posted on in her obituary. And she did not want anything as far as the year she was born or anything like that. She didn't want people to know how old she was when she died. I thought, what difference does it make how old you are when you die at that point? But anyway, that's kind of unique that way. But here we have the measuring of one's years again, one's days and their years. As you go on about the flood of Noah, we find that it breaks it down more there, going back to that same passage, Genesis 7, verse 11. And we have all these elements put together. In other words, it says in the 600th year of Noah's life, and so we know how old he was, we understand in the second month and the 17th day of the month. And that's quite a bit of information to give us. If he just said 600 years of Noah's life, we would understand, we'd get the general idea, but it really breaks it down quite a bit for us as far as everything that happened, as far as the preparation arc of the day that actually that the flood started. Now, interestingly enough, when you look at this, you think about, now, hold it, when did they start, when was the first of the year for these folks? When was in Genesis, when did they start, was it January 1st like we have it? Was it in the summertime, July 1st? Was it another day totally all different? We don't have any idea of actually when their year began. No more what we do, what day of the, as far as what was first day of creation. As far as we know, Sunday, first day of the week, but we don't know when, as far as time of the year. Rain, 40 days, 40 nights, Genesis 7, verse 12 tells us, and then for a whole year. So now again, we have something measured by when it began and when it ended. Here in this passage, Genesis 8, verse 13. Now the Jewish counter then, as you go from that, this is one kind of skip on over to the Jewish calendar. we find that there's a number of interesting elements that I encounter. One is we have a beginning based on the Passover. And that is in Exodus, the 12th chapter, starting verse 1. It said, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, Aaron, and the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Now we know when that was because the Jewish calendar still exists today. And so we have this beginning, though, again, this is honestly different than what the Gentiles had before this time or man had before this time. So he said, this one in your month will begin, beginning of your year. And go on and find out that their calendar had 12 months, okay, like ours. But the distinction is that their months consist of 29 and 30 days. Our calendar, February, of course, in our calendar is unique because of having 28 days until a leap year and then 29. But their calendar, every month was either 29 or 30 days. And so if you look at it, it kind of breaks down like this. And this reason why that line was long tonight, it doesn't really mean I cover more material as far as time, but just kind of giving more background information about this calendar. And if you fill it out, you have something you can actually file away and kind of look back at later on to understand a little more about it. But you look at most years had 12 months. Now we say, oh, what do you mean by most years? I mean, there was an exception to this. Our calendar every year is the same, right? 12 months. Well, theirs is not the same because 4 years out of every 11 have a 13th month. So it wasn't like you could say, okay, every third year you had this 13th month. It wasn't quite that steady, but out of 11 years, the 4 years actually had this 13th month in it. And the month, that 12th month of their calendar is the month of Adar, or Adar. And it consisted of 30 days, but there would be times they would have to insert an extra month because you start doing the math and you think, okay, now we have 11 months with 30, 31 days, and they have some months of 29 days, some months with 30 days. Well, their year is not going to be 365 days. It's going to be less than that. And therefore, in a way to make it up is that let's throw in, when necessary, this extra month to get it back on track what a year's supposed to be. Either that or their year's always going to be changing as far as when the first of the year's going to be as far as compared to our year calendar, for instance. And so what determined when they had the 13th month, second Adar, is the idea, again, the Bible doesn't specifically mention every month, but it does refer to each month by number. Okay, so we don't have all these months mentioned that we're going to talk about here, but it does talk about the 7th month or 8th month or 9th month, and those months are talked about in the Bible. And so look at this here. The first month is the month I would say Nisan, but I spent some time this afternoon on YouTube, and how do you say? And they ask Nisan. That's how they said it. But anyway, it corresponds to our March, April. And then Iyar is basically 29 days, and that's our April, May. I can't say it's like our April 15th or May 14th, because again, it's going to change from year to year, because they're not keeping, their calendar's not 365 day calendar. And so then, the third month is Sivan, that's 30 days, that's going to be our May, June. And so you have 30 days, 29 days, 30 days, and then the next one is Tammuz, 29 days, and that's going to be our June, July. And so being consistent then, the fifth month then is Av, and that's going to be 30 days, and that's July, August, or July, August, when how it corresponds here. And so you got, again, have a pattern of 30 days, 29 days, 30 days, 29 days, 30 days. And so you see an alternating there as far as the length of the month. And then the sixth month is Elul, and that's 29 days. That's our August, September. That's how that goes. And so all the way through here is pretty consistent how their calendar works. However, did everybody get that once? Okay, do I need to back up for a second here? Okay, anyway, as you go on then, the seventh month here is when it kind of changes some. And so the seventh month is Tirah, Tisra, 30 days, that's our September, October. And then Shavan, Kesvan, is how they say that's a K, there, and that's 29 or 30 days. Kind of depends on the year, whether it's 29 or 30 days. I don't have any understanding of what determined exactly we have had 29 days or 30 days in it. But that's our October, November then. And so then Kislev is 29 or 30 days. Again, so that'd be our November, December. And then the 10th month is Tevet of 29 days. That's going to be our December, January. And then Shavuot is 30 days. That's our January and February. And then back to the what I talked about earlier. The last month of their year is Adar. And so that's 29 or 30 days. And that's February, March. So we come back again. Gets back to the first year, right? How their calendar work. Now again, since it's not a 365-day calendar, every now and then they have to throw in that 13th month to get them back, catch back up, so that their seasons aren't always changing with their calendar. And so that's when we have second Adar, and that's going to be 29 days, March, April. I was trying to find a good graph actually showing their calendar, kind of comparing it to ours, and that was hard to find. One, basically hard to read it, you know, I put it up here. But anyway, that's how their calendar worked. What's interesting, you may think, now what really determined then when they threw that 13th month in there? And that 13th month is based on this. On the 16th day of Nisan, as the sun had not reached its vernal equinox, it was declared to be the month of Adar II. So basically it's when they got that point, spring, and they said if it hadn't already occurred then by the 16th day of our first month, then you know what? This actually is the 16th day of our first month. This is actually that 13th month here. And again, they would know what it'd be because they were good enough to keep up with it, and they would know when that was going to happen. So that's basically their calendar. Now again, a lot different than ours, isn't it? Now as you look at this month though, I just want to kind of concentrate a little bit about, okay, then on this first month, what's some events that happened there in the Bible? If we had our calendar, the Jews had their calendar, they would say, okay, important events during the first month, and there's a number of them. The first one we already talked about, the institution of the Passover, or Pesach, as they would say it. And what that is the idea talked about here in Exodus 12 verse 2 again. This month should be your beginning of the month. It should be the first month of the year to you. And then going down verse 18, it says, in the first month on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the first day of the month at evening. Now he goes ahead and explains some things to them as far as what they're supposed to be doing there is time. And one is, obviously, they're supposed to keep them from year to year. Exodus 13 verse 10, it shall therefore keep this ordinance in a season from year to year. And so they couldn't change it around. And that's when they were to observe it, as talked about right there. And so the Passover actually is in that first month. Then we find, it's talked about the first month of the second year. So we would have this here marked down, and that is that Numbers 9, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the first month of the second year, after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, let the children of Israel keep the Passover as appointed time. So that's the Passover, the first observance, and the second observance talked about, and that passes then. And then it's go on, and again, they would be eating bitter herbs, talked about there, the bitterness of slavery, how hard it was for them in the land of Egypt, so they would not forget what it was like to be in that country. And it would end today, the modern Jew, when they have their Passover meal, that the same they have is with a wish or prayer that next year the Pesach will be eaten in Jerusalem. And what they mean by that is by the time of the next year, the Messiah will be here. And that we'd be all back in Jerusalem at that time. That's what the modern Jew will be praying to at the end of that Passover meal. And so we go on, and we find that in the first month, in Numbers 33, verse 3, it mentions that they parted from Ramses on the 15th day of that month. Now that again is after the Passover, the next day they left. And so they left Egypt and going out to the wilderness at that time period. And then also the raising of the tabernacle was in the first month, a year later. You find in Exodus 40, verse 17, it said, it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. So, you know, it's just interesting to me because if you read through the book of Exodus and read about them leaving Egypt and going out to the wilderness and all the instructions given to the children of Israel about the making of the tabernacle and all the instruments, and we read about them starting to work on that tabernacle and how long it would take. And sometimes, again, it's hard to visualize, but it took a year. Basically, from when they left Egypt to this time period, actually having the tabernacle raised, the tent of meeting raised there, as that first month, first day of that month. And then go on and say, every seventh year be a year of rest of the land. Now, the reason I put this in here is Leviticus 25, starting verse 1, but that would be when they would not go out and sow crops and that God would provide for them. But again, that would begin then on this first day of the first month of every seventh year. And again, kind of amazing thing about what would it be like today if somebody said, you know what, every seventh year, you're not going to raise any crops. Now, what that would be like today? But God had promised them, I'll provide for you. You'll have plenty to eat during that time period. And then every 50th year would be a year of Jubilee. Again, Leviticus 25:10, I'm not going to spend any time tonight reading about all the things going on there, but basically what that was is that all debts will be forgiven, that any land that had been sold be returned back to its tribe or back to its family that had sold it. And so this was a time when they would do that. And so these are some events there as far as that first month that you have marked there. And so as you go on a little bit more, and I'm just staying inside the Old Testament here, but Joshua and Israel crossed the Jordan River. And we have quite a bit of an account of that in the book of Joshua as they come there. And I'm not going to read all this, but just notice as you go verses 14 through verse 17, as you get down to verse 17, it says, the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. All Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people crossed completely over to Jordan. And we go on a little bit farther, and verse 14 and verse 19 talks about the priests as they cross the Jordan River quit flowing. But then in the fourth chapter, verse 19, so the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. So you see, that gives us our time element here. So they have these events marked on different days of the month of this is the Passover day, this when Joshua, children of Israel, crossed Jordan on the 10th day of that month. And they camped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And so these are some of the events they talk about. And finally, a memorial was set up also in Joshua 4, chapter 4 through 7 in the Jordan River as far as commemorating or being a memorial for the children of Israel and the Jordan River, actually, in the land of Canaan. So they would remember these events. So again, that'll be talked about in that first month. You know, that's a pretty busy month to have all these events on them. Well, you say, okay, what's the point of application? You know, whenever I look at a passage like this or a lesson like this thing, what's the point of application then? Well, one is, honestly, we understand the Passover is called a Feast of Unleavened Bread in the New Testament. And that's why when we read about the ministry of Jesus, they would ask the question, is it going to go to the Passover? Well, that's Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. Deuteronomy said, three times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses at the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Weeks. Well, that there is the Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, based on Exodus 12th chapter again. And he said, the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's later on then. And so that's talked about as far as they shall observe this. That's what Jesus was doing when in his ministry would go to Jerusalem on various occasions. And there's time again, a male lamb was sacrificed. A male lamb 1 year old was taken a sacrifice, and the Jews would take the blood and they put on the doorposts of their houses because God would pass over them and kill the firstborn of the children of Egypt. And during that time, they inside the house, they eat unleavened bread and herbs. And it talks about it. And so this memorial of God passing over to Israel and killing the firstborn in Egypt, as I said before. And I just already talked about the blood of those goats being put on the doorposts of the house. Well, today we don't remember the Passover that way. And in fact, the Hebrew writer points out the blood of bulls and goats was not able to take away sin. And so we understand our Passover is Jesus. Our Passover blood is the blood of Jesus. And so in John 19, verse 34, it said, one of the soldiers pierced the side of the spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Now Jesus had told them that he was going to die. And he told them the purpose of that. And we see that happening, of course, on the cross as blood being shed for our forgiveness of our sins. And Ephesians 1 verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins for the riches of his grace. That we have the blood of Christ being shed so that we can have our sins forgiven. He paid the debt for us. Now, so this is again how we think about the Passover day, what I think about. And so the question is, okay, how do we come in contact with his blood then? Now, that's a key element. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 28, for this my blood, the new covenant, was shed for many for the remission of sins. That yes, is the purpose of this, and the covenant we have today ratified by his blood being shed for us. And so we go on in Romans 3, verse 24. It talks about, says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness because of his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Notice that we have the word passed over this time used, but a word that's not used a lot today is the word propitiation. And what that means is, when we sin against God, God is angry. It's God's righteous anger as sin. And what we have, the word propitiation, is to appease or to soothe the anger of God. And so he sent forth his son to be that soothing sacrifice for our sins. And so that shows the importance of this. Otherwise, we're all standing for God. And we're going to stand for him as he's an angry God because of sin we committed against him. And Revelation 1 verse 5, the latter part of that verse says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And so that's why Christ died for us. Because he loves us and because he wants us to have the hope of heaven when this life's over with. And the last verse I simply give to you is Romans 6 verse 3 and 4. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, and just as God, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, and so we shall walk in newness of life. And that is, this way we come in contact with the blood of Christ, this way we become cleansed of our sins, this is the way that we have the forgiveness of those sins. It's through Christ. Again, he's our Passover lamb today. And so hopefully this just kind of helped you understand the Jewish system as far as timekeeping and how this relates to us a little bit with this Passover. But each year, each day we have is precious. And you know, I've had people sometimes talk about they wish they hadn't wasted years of riotous living, or they wish they had done things differently in their life. There are certain things I've never had people say. When somebody's about ready to die or they realize their years are very limited, I've never had anybody, for instance, say, I wish I spent more time at the office. I've never heard, sometimes I wish I spent more time with my family. I've never heard anybody say, I wish I spent more time living and drinking and just living for myself. No, I've never had anybody else say, I wish I hadn't obeyed the gospel when I was young. There's certain things they don't say. A person never regrets serving God. When this life's over, you'll be thankful that you have served him for the days you've had. And so tonight we have the song of encouragement. for us of 288 of coming home. That's where God wants us to be able to go. Be able to go be with Him in heaven, coming home.